And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Basket Buds edition of the Athletic NBA Show podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Zach Harper. We got Jay King, Fred Katz, Dave Dufour. We got Summer League boys. A little Summer League action. We got some picks.
You guys are a lot uglier in person.
Yeah, I mean,
just
going to
point that out.
I mean, we don't turn the camera on for our show for a reason.
Now I have to see you. Right? It's tough.
Although we got better looking because we got Fred here.
Yeah, Fred's a sharp looking dude.
If Trey had been here, we would be in even better shape.
Trey would be, yeah, that's a good boost. But yeah, now I got to carry you guys in the looks department, which is frustrating. But we have some action. We saw Cade Cunningham. We saw Evan Mobley, Jalen Green, Scotty Barnes, and we got some tampering news that we'll get to later on today, which I'm sure is great to talk at Summer League. I know that that's an exciting subject for everybody. But first impressions, I want to start off with Jalen Green and Evan Mobley. They had a showdown earlier today on Sunday as the Cavs and the Rockets played for Summer League glory. And I got to say, both those guys, amazing. Jalen Green is so comfortable with basketball and getting shots. And Evan Mobley is so smooth and so controlled with his body. And I heard people saying, like, oh, you know, Evan Mobley's got to get stronger. And, you know, I don't think so. Like, at some point he'll need to be strong, but, like, nah, he doesn't need to put on weight or anything.
Not this year.
Nah, he's
right?
good.
Like, I mean, I'm sorry. You're the Cavs. You put him in the gym, right? Get him lifting weights. When you saw him in person, do you feel like he's going to be able to guard enough fours and threes to play with Jared Allen?
He can move.
That's the big concern. And it's nice that he's got they're going to have the option to go to that maybe smaller ball five.
I think defensively they'll be great. It's offense where
how's it gonna work?
Playing him at the four, especially early on in his career before he's really developed all the skills, how is that going to work? But as far as first impressions go.
Also, well, it's the Cavs. They suck. Right. We don't have to worry about, are they going to be able to defend and play whoever.
You have to worry about it to a degree because they just gave Jared Allen $100 million. So then
you move your good center if you decide to put the other dude at center? Like, it's not a big
deal. He's making starter center money, but I think he's going to be like a top 10 center this year.
Yeah, he's good.
You look at his career, he's going to make an all-star team or two, right? Like, he's one of those players. He's very good, which is important. So if they wanted to move him, I don't think they'd have a hard time. But they wanted him in that trade.
I love how
he
just signed a contract and we're already talking about trading him.
You have to.
Yeah, I mean, it's literally just the
Well, I think it can work. I mean, Mobley is just so agile.
Yeah.
Like, he just moves so well. He's going to be able to guard away from the basket, I think. I mean, if he can really reliably guard big wings – to a degree that he can just kind of stay in front of them, and you match that with his length, his size, his ability to impact shots around the rim and all that. Like, there's nothing wrong with having two rim protectors.
And then you put Okoro next to them, and all of a sudden you're big, you're long, you're mobile everywhere, and that defense could be awesome couple, two, 3 years down the road.
And Garland, as a distributor, fantastic. I mean, the passing that we've seen out of him and the growth there – you got some athletes around that guy. All of a sudden, I mean, you're at least
there's
maybe
a
you're
vision
not
there.
Good.
There's a vision.
But you're fun.
So that's the interesting thing is because we've heard reports of maybe they don't want to give Colin Sexton money, right? They don't want to extend him. So going out and grabbing someone else other than him to put at the two, you know, I don't know who the names would be out there, but I actually kind of wish they would commit to it. Unless he's gonna, you know, be John Collins, be like, I'm a max player,
right?
He had a great year. Like, he was fantastic this year individually. And so he's going to command money because people like scoring. But I don't know. I've never quite understood the pairing of him and Garland together, aside from the Sexland, you know, nickname being
great
fantastic.
Meme,
it's incredible. But if you do have Okoro and Mobley and Allen, all right, now it kind of looks like – I'm not comparing them to Dame and CJ, but that's a small backcourt with a lot of firepower. that can't defend. All right, so maybe Cleveland has found a way to have that sort of backcourt with those guys.
And see, now this is where it's the almost overvaluation of rim protection. Like we saw what happened to Utah Jazz.
Oh, with 2-7?
Right?
With 2-7, silver medalist 2-7?
But when you've got Mitchell and Conley up front who are just dying.
Yeah.
It's a hard job for 2-7 inside right now. So you got that.
Especially when you
got
to keep Terrence Mann in check. Like that's a lot, man. In a do or die game, that's too much sometimes.
But this might be, maybe this is a way to do it, right? Because now you've got double backline help. And Jared Allen is just, I mean, he's so good at his job.
It's weird to me that, look, Rockets fans are going to be Rockets fans, but it's weird to me that, with the whole like, oh, we could have had Jared Allen, but no, why would we want to pay him $100 million? Like, yo, that's kind of cheap for what he does.
It's starter money.
Yeah. I don't know.
We're kind of at a point now. Jared Allen's a very good player, but we're at a point now where like, you really have to be elite at finishing around the rim and blocking shots if that's all you're going to do. Like, you have to be in
but all I think, defense But I think contention. He can shoot. I think he can shoot. Yeah. I think he can move the ball on the roll. Like, I think he can do a lot more.
He can. He can be, like, a secondary guy when he's rolling, find guys in the corners, all that. I don't necessarily have a problem with the Jared Allen contract. Someone's going to give him that. But we've just seen – we keep seeing every year centers get paid more than I expect them to get paid, and then those same centers getting kind of just pushed away that next offseason.
Yeah, but he got, like, Miles Turner money. Like that, right. Like he didn't get, you know, 30 a year. Like 20 a year is very reasonable for a starting center.
My problem with it is that if you're a center, you should be a star to get that type of money. Like, you can go out and get a center for the mid level. You can always get a center for the mid level, and maybe he's not Jared Allen, but he can approximate that production at a much lower cost. And so that's my problem with it. It's not that I dislike him as a player. It's not even that $20 million is like.
Do you mean get a good center for the mid-level?
See,
or like,
thing.
Yeah. Like,
not Cleveland.
Pretty good
not in Cleveland.
Center.
Cleveland's not.
Yeah, maybe
look,
not
you're
Cleveland.
Not ring chasing in Cleveland, right? So they actually wanted him, right? That's why they wanted in on that trade. They got their guy. They signed him, and he's good.
He's good,
And I think that money is totally fine starter money. You just have to ignore the fact that he's a center.
Where it
right?
becomes a problem is if you then give Sexton 25, 30 a year, and then you have to give someone else 25, 30 a year. That's when it becomes a problem. That's like the whole thing with – I hate the Evan Fournier signing for the Knicks because, one, I don't think he's very good. And, two, like that's money that is accountable. So, all right, you extend Julius Randle on a – like actually a pretty reasonable extension.
Good for both sides.
Yeah, good for both sides. He gets paid and they're not maxing him out. And so, but now, like, okay, you have that 30 or whatever that is, and then you have 18 for Fournier, and you're going to have to extend RJ Barrett. And now where's the money?
Right.
Right? That's where it gets to be a problem. With Allen, like, him at 20 a year is kind of the setup of what at least Indiana's roster construction is sort of looking
is
like.
Is that what you should shoot for?
No, I'm saying from a cap situation, yes. They just keep putting in the wrong people.
Yeah. And again, Cleveland's not getting free agents. Okay, so you got to keep the guys that you want to keep. And you're right on the Colin Sexton point. If you make the decision that you're not in love with your own guy, you're usually going to be better off, right, than if you just say, oh, well, we like him and we drafted him.
Right.
Let's give him this money.
I mean, look, I covered a team that didn't want to extend Otto Porter.
Right.
Thought he was asking for too much in an extension. And then he goes into restricted free agency, which is what Colin Sexton's going to do next year.
Yeah.
And the Nets make him a max offer sheet. And not just a max offer sheet. The craziest max offer sheet. Stuff where, like, he receives half of his salary in one payment at the start of the season.
I love that move.
That's why you get a billionaire as an owner. That's
it
why.
It was as if they were just
the
trolling
had to
the
fold.
Wizards. Yeah. as if they were just trolling
to sell
the
that
Wizards.
Boat.
You know, that boat. That yacht that's actually more of just a pontoon boat is like that's on the market at that point.
Right, but the Wizards were coming off a nice enough season at the time that they didn't want to get worse after it. And Otto Porter was a very important player for them.
Yeah.
So they had to bring him back, and now all of a sudden they're backed into this max contract, which they never wanted to pay him at the beginning.
Right.
And that's really the perfect example of if you're not in love with your own guy, and you think that somebody else might be in love with your guy or might force you to act as if you're in love with that guy, then then canvas the market.
Right,
see
but
what's there.
But here's the issue with that too, is they weren't backed into it. They chose to be backed into it, right? Like, you can always say, we're not matching that offer sheet.
Right.
And teams are often too afraid to do that because it's a bad PR move, and teams are so worried about winning the press conference.
Well, what do we always say? They lost him for nothing. I said that like an idiot yesterday about Kelly Oubre. I don't know why, I've just been conditioned. This guy left, and I'm like, yeah.
Lost a 31% three-point shooter.
They didn't
takes
get a
too many
second
shots.
Round pick. Like, who cares, man?
You lost a guy with
but
no
again,
IQ.
But again, just a reflex,
who took
right?
Possessions away from Steph Curry, man. Lost him for nothing.
Oh no!
It's just such a dumb reflex. But you're right. Like, that's where I think, like, the good front offices can differentiate themselves. And with Cleveland, I think we give them the benefit of the doubt. Kobe Altman's
hold
done
on,
a really
hold on,
no, no,
hold
no,
on,
no, no.
Hold on, hold
no, hold on.
I'm with Jay already. Before you even finish your point, I'm with Jay.
Okay. Look at what they had when LeBron left. They had nothing.
Yeah.
And the cupboard was bare.
Hold on. They traded Kyrie with 2 years left on his contract.
No, he means the first time.
The first time?
Yeah.
When they got the number one pick
LeBron
like seven
left,
times in a row.
When LeBron left this last time, they had nothing.
Oh, this last time?
Yeah,
oh.
Okay. So they had nothing. All right.
Hey, Kevin Love, he's almost Olympian.
That guy hadn't played in 2 years, right? So they are locked into some weird contracts that are kind of left over. But if you look at the stuff that they've done, picking up second round picks, and I mean, I think the Garland pick is good. I actually like Colin Sexton a lot. I liked him in that draft. I just think, like you, how do you have these two guys? But if you're so bad, you're just trying to get talent.
Yeah.
Who cares about the fit? You figure out the fit later. But Jared Allen is an example of them going and getting talent.
He's good, man. He's really good.
I think yes, they're not going to be a good team. But isn't this what we want bad teams to do? Go get players that you think are good?
Well, what they did a good job with was just kind of sneaking their way into that deal to be able to get
for
Jared
sure.
Allen.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a player that – I love those moves that teams will do when they kind of sneak in as the third team or the fourth team in a deal.
Yeah.
And it's not your deal. But you come and say, oh, yeah, you need us to.
Oh, you did? Yeah, you need a little facility?
Sure. We'll do you a favor.
They become like a rideshare service, right? Like, all of a sudden, like, oh, you need a ride to this trade? Yeah, we got you. Like, for sure.
Yeah, three times surcharge, but it's fine.
Right, exactly. Yeah, we'll three times surcharge, but it's fine. Like, we'll do it.
Oklahoma City's doing that. Like, they're getting in on so much stuff.
Oklahoma City is.
Oklahoma City's doing something
almost
totally different.
Fetishizing it's, what that is, that whole process.
Almost?
Like, well, all right. I was trying to be family friendly here.
It's so extreme. It's the most extreme version, for sure.
Yeah. The other side of that Evan Mobley matchup today was Jalen Green. And so the Rockets, we have been very critical of, and with good reason, because they have butchered this since Tillman Fertitta took over. But Jalen Green is a star. Like, that kid is already – I mean, him – the way he's
a perfect Zach Harper player.
Yo, he shoots constantly. Constantly. He had a play where Alperen Şengün does a pick and roll. He seals this guy inside, and there's a passing lane there, and he's like, nah. And he takes a step back three, hits it, and I was like, yes, that's basketball right there. Like, don't pass this dude who's been blowing layups all day. Like, go and take that shot. You're a better player.
Is that your early favorite for Rookie of the Year? Just opportunity?
Yeah, I mean, he's going to score a ton. Yeah. They're going to give the ball to him to sell tickets anyway. Like, that's the way that you try to make up for, hey, we have a horrible team now. I don't think Christian Wood's selling those tickets. So, they're going to give him the ball.
Daniel Tice puts butts in the seats.
Yeah, Daniel Tice got paid for I don't know what. He's good.
He's solid.
He's $36 million solid. That's a bad center contract.
Not for
contract.
The Rockets,
like,
right? Like, again.
That's got to be like we're going to flip him in a year
it
and,
must
and get something.
Yeah. I mean, so when you look at that team, I mean, really, Jalen's the guy who's going to have to score.
Yeah, like KPJ, Kevin Porter Jr. will be in the mix. Christian Wood's going to get numbers. But, like, they want Jalen to take over. And, he's going to have some bad nights shooting. He's going to have some growing pains, but he can hoop.
He's
like,
just
he's
such
so
a
good.
Gifted scorer.
Yeah.
Like, you just watch him, and it's like, this dude was born to put the ball in the bucket. I also want to, before we move too far past it, we talked for a while about what we were going to chat about, and then we did like 15 minutes on the Cleveland Cavaliers. So,
can we talk about the fact that it's 112 degrees outside and Zach is wearing a jacket?
Are we
it's
outside?
Like all I can think about. I don't care.
And sweats.
These are track pants.
You're wearing
pants.
You're wearing sweat. You're wearing
I'm
sweat
dressed
pants.
For in-arena air conditioning.
I can see like none
and
of your skin right now.
What I mean, I can take some clothes off
you're
if
wearing,
you want.
Like, you're wearing you're wearing high enough socks that I can't see your ankles.
There you go. There's a little ankle for you. It's good on a podcast.
I wasn't requesting to see your
ankles. Here's the other one. There you go.
You're just making me warm.
No, I'm so comfortable. I don't know why everyone else is worried about what I'm wearing.
I'm wearing shorts and a t-shirt.
It's freezing in that bowl. It's freezing in that bowl.
I think you just have to deal.
It's not that cold in the bowl, people.
Yeah.
It's freezing.
It's fine.
It's freezing.
I'm with Zach.
And I'm super comfortable.
I usually have a hoodie.
Yeah. I forgot to pack a hoodie this year. Yeah. So I've got to, you know.
When guys, when you're sitting there watching every game, like, you know, you guys watch the Celtics, you watch the
Look,
we're there. Look, grinding.
We're grinding. Yeah. I got here at 3:30 today. Okay.
Yeah.
Grinding. I got to have bed at 2:30.
I showed up at the second half of the Pistons game, guys. Like, it's hard dedication.
That's Pacific
hard work.
Time.
That's
too.
Pacific time. Exactly. For you kids out there.
Yeah.
People
on the East
today.
Coast were out of work by the time you woke up today.
I did radio this morning from 7 to 10. And then went back to bed for 4 hours.
My flight was supposed to leave at 5. We got delayed 2 hours because the flight attendant did not show up. And I barely made it in time for the Celtics game. And then Yam Madar stole the show.
I don't know what half those words you just said are.
You definitely don't know about Yam Madar.
No, I don't. Who, tell me about Yam Madar.
Not former. Celtics draft pick from 2020.
Sure.
Just a swaggy little Israeli point guard.
Okay.
He'll probably be a Zach Harper All-Star. In the Israeli league.
Can he shoot?
A little.
Oh, then he's...
Sort of.
He's not coming over.
But he will shoot.
Okay.
He's not coming over.
He thinks he's coming over.
But he's not coming over, right?
It seems to be undecided.
I like that Jay criticized us for talking Cavs for 15 minutes in their roster construction. And he's like, let's get into the Israeli league, guys.
Look.
Let's do that.
Hey, remember,
that's going to be good content.
What's our line?
This is what Summer
Shaq
League is
Harrison?
For.
Shaq Harrison's our line.
Our line?
Yeah, Shaq Harrison's our line.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
All right, for the Houston thing, if Jalen Green is a star, right? Let's say he's a star in a couple of years. You've got one. Then what?
Right.
Then what do you do?
I mean, you got two. KPJ.
Well, okay. And I
was thinking outside of the Instagram highlights that get put together. Yeah.
Well, you got Christian Wood in house, but like, I mean, the timeline starts to get funky, right?
Yeah, but he's not like.
He doesn't have a lot of miles, but.
Well, I was going to say not good. Like he puts up numbers,
fine,
but like.
They're just an open canvas right now.
Is Shingun going to be a
They
player?
Had Harden.
I thought he sucked today. Like his numbers look pretty good, but I was not impressed. And it's just one summer league game, but
we're overreacting, right?
Right. Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh, yeah. No, he's terrible. He's going to be bust. Yeah, he's awful. Like I watched him today and like, I'm like, this, who's the guy? Mufondo Cabagelli or whatever, the former Clipper second round pick.
And I get crap for bringing up Yama Dar.
Cabagelli, yeah. He was murdering Shingun, murdering him today. Like, so
the thing with him is going to be if a team is willing to actually put in the proper time and resources to developing him because he has such a specific.
You said resources? Houston's out.
It's just he's such a specific kind of player. I mean, he's in some ways he's really old school because he likes to play back to the basket.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He likes to play that sort of old school Scott style in some ways. But like, I don't know. I was talking to a scout like a week or two before the draft, and he was telling me he thinks he's going to be a really good passer. He thinks he's going to develop into a guy who's really going to see the floor really, really
high
well
IQ.
From the high post and he finishes around the rim well. He can run pick and rolls. Like the jury's, I guess, still out on if he's going to shoot threes with any sort of consistency. But like, you need to, if you have an organization, I think, that just tries to turn him into something he's not, maybe that's when it doesn't work out. If you say this is a guy who's good with the back to the basket, but we're going to try to make him shoot threes, and we're going to try to make him just a pick and roll dive guy who can shoot threes, and that's what we're going to do. Then it might not work out. But if you have an organization maybe with a blank canvas and that doesn't really care about winning games in the upcoming season that says, you know what, let's just see if we can make this kind of player a successful player, then maybe it works.
I mean, if he can run pick and rolls with Jalen Green and Jalen will hit him five times a game,
sure,
you're great, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's – I guess you can see, like, okay, maybe something happens there. They develop some really great chemistry. The three with the centers, man, like, I really think that it went too far where if you were a center and you couldn't shoot the three, it was just like you have no utility whatsoever.
Right.
It's all about how you play them and where you put them in lineups, right? Like, so that team is likely to not have – I mean, I think they're going to have four spacers and him when he's out on the court probably, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I have a question. Like, there are two words we have not said this entire conversation about John Wall we've said – or about the Rockets. We
John
have
Wall?
Not said John Wall.
Well,
yeah.
I mean
– What happened? I mean
– Is he – Does something happen?
What should we?
No, I just mean that
he's clear. I'm guessing the $44 million point guard is not in their plans moving forward.
Correct, but he's in their plans right now. Like he's
on the books.
He's there. We're talking about Jalen Green handling the ball all the time, and
that's where I think like Şengün can really, really shine is like by playing with John Wall, who is someone who will set guys up. Like if he's out there with Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr., like, probably not going to look great. But if he can get some confidence early by having John Wall feeding him on the – because he does have, like, really good hands.
And
like, you can tell that today. Yeah.
Right?
Run the floor a little bit. Yeah.
I mean, this is what – I mean, like, Christian Wood in a little bit of time he got with John Wall. Running the floor, John Wall is a guy who's going to get you the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder what he's going to be. And I wonder if he continues to fight with those injuries, how he's going to evolve stylistically too.
I think he's
going to
be a Laker or something at some point, right? Like
they're just going to scoop up all the former Wizards point guards.
Like it feels like a buyout.
They're taking Ish Smith.
Although
next.
We know that they don't want to pay for nothing down there.
That's the thing. Yeah.
So he
would have to give up some real money
for sure.
Yeah. Like it would have to look like Kemba, right?
Like
where you're giving up big money in order to get free.
And he's a guy who's made big money to this point, so maybe. You know, maybe he does.
I don't know. Like, I wouldn't give up any of it.
No way.
Yeah.
I'll hang out here on a bad team.
He's $44 million this year with a $47 million player option next
Good
year.
Agent. Oh, that's God. What I say. Good agent.
Just incredible.
There's no buyout coming.
No.
No way.
No.
No way.
Absolutely not. Kate Cunningham made his summer league debut. A little rough.
Looked bored.
He looked real bored. He looked like he hit his first couple shots, and then at that point it was like, all right, you got it, Killian. Like, You can have this one. And Killian was like, I think they're here for me anyway, so let's go. Like, I'm ready for it. But he's good. Like, he's clearly good. It's just, I don't know. I would have liked to have seen more from him.
I feel like he's the type of guy who thrives with more structure. Like,
God he's on the Pistons.
Give him an offense. Give him sets. Like, free-flowing, like, ISO stuff that's not really for Cade Cunningham. Because he's going to make the right read. And he made the right read a lot tonight.
And a really nice pocket pass.
And like, it didn't always work out because it's summer league. And
he also threw some horrific passes as well. Like, you're right. He made a lot of good reads.
The alley-oop was ambitious.
The alley-oop was really ambitious. He threw a bunch of passes, like, at what's the dude's name? Tyler Cook's feet. Like, he threw a bunch of, like.
He had a couple bullet passes on the baseline where he was trying to
much,
throw it
yeah.
by, like, two defenders.
Right.
Yeah.
But I love for the number one pick, for the guy who everyone's been hyping for years. He throws the extra pass. He threw I think it was Sadiq Bey that he hit. He had a pretty good look in the corner.
Yeah.
Found Sadiq Bey wide open.
Why is Sadiq Bey playing summer league?
That's Team USA selects.
Isn't he
Sadiq
too good?
Well, doesn't everybody
play stud game,
the
man.
Second year?
It's a stud game.
Every year there's a guy who's too good for summer league. And I think Sadiq Bey is the guy this year.
Yeah, he can. Yeah, I mean, pull him. But the idea that he would go, like, I think that's okay.
Yeah. Like, Obi Toppin should have had a stud game, right? Like,
yeah,
that's a big. I think that's a big milestone for a lot of these second year guys, right? Like Zion's not doing it, but Sadiq Bey is a guy who definitely should come here and dominate in one game, and that's the rest of that's all you see.
Yeah, you get Brandon Ingram, right?
Exactly.
Like you get pulled from the game, like.
And it's great. I think it's a good confidence builder, right? And it also it's continuing your program because he gets in those practices with these new guys.
You know,
right?
it's the equivalent of when there's an interview after a game, and it's like, hey, Sadiq Bey. What do the fans mean for you tonight in the building, right? Like, that's
exactly.
It's that equivalent. It's a softball. Like, it's just an absolute layup where you bring the second-year guy out. He dominates game one. You're like, whoa, Sadiq, you're way too good to be here. That's our bad. Why don't we're going to pull you. Enjoy your time in Vegas. Be safe. And we'll do that. It's the same thing as, like, oh, what did the fans' energy do for you in the building tonight?
Well, and
you
also
bring a guy like that to try to expand his game a little bit. Because he had a great rookie year, but it was a role-playing rookie year. And he's – kind of been playing that role since Villanova, so he's not a guy who's gonna probably become like a 27 point a game scorer at any time, but let him rock out a little bit, let him
He worked from the mid post a little bit. Like, let him try things that maybe he didn't try as a rookie and maybe one day could do.
Yeah.
It's a good thing if your second year player shows up and you feel like he's way too good for summer league, right? And not to mention, you've got a bunch of other guys on this team that are pretty young that are going to be going to training camp.
The Pistons
camp
have like their whole roster here.
Yeah. So
they have, like, the Pistons sneakily have some really nice young players. I mean, I love Isaiah Stewart.
Oh, yeah, he can hoop. Yeah,
he is a
good
beast.
Yeah.
And I think Killian Hayes is going to be a pretty good player. And
yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about him, but I liked a lot of what I saw today.
It depends on on how it goes with Cade, right? Like, can he play with them? Tonight there was this one possession. Killian Hayes tries three or four separate times to get that little in-and-out lefty dribble, and he winds up circling around. And I'm just standing there watching like, okay, all right, it's summer league, right? Yeah. And Cade standing in the corner. Yeah. I would love to see – I'm hoping that we get to see a little bit more two-man game with those guys. Cade's got some size on him. Have him set a screen and see what happens there. Because chemistry with those two guys would be huge right away for the Pistons.
Yeah, that'd be huge. Scotty Barnes, I admittedly missed the Raptors game. I was in bed. But – some people did see Scotty Barnes play, and it was like three. I don't know. I actually don't know. But I'll say this:
it was at 1:30.
It was. Yeah, that was not going to happen. I'm going to throw Jay and I under the bus together. We both, when prompted about, all right, we'll talk about the top four picks, both at one point thought today, oh yeah, I wonder how Jalen Suggs did with the Raptors.
I missed the Raptors game too. I went to the game afterward and asked somebody how Jalen Suggs played for Toronto. just mentally, I had Jalen Suggs slotted into that.
He was awful. He was awful.
And then they drafted Scotty Barnes.
Basically didn't show up.
Didn't even show up on the box score.
Exactly,
weird game. Scotty Barnes, NBA body day one, right?
Yeah.
And that was apparent. Like, you could see how physical he's going to be able to be right away, which is going to be big for his archetype, right?
Right.
I don't know what the hell they're going to have him doing, but I know that he's going to be big, right, for them. Defensively, I like the pressure that he was putting on the guys that he was guarding. He had a nice steal and, like, got down on the floor, collected himself, gives the ball up. He's just he's a good basketball player who never seems rushed. And I think that, you know, it's not the best pick in the world for them because they needed subs. Like, they needed that type of guy. But he's going to be a good player.
It's tough, man, because I'm so in the bag for Suggs, but at the same time, like, how would you ever doubt Masai Ujiri making any decision, right? Like, so I'm very conflicted on how to approach this.
Yeah, I mean, when you
Think they're the only organization that would have made that pick, by the way.
No, there are a bunch of teams that, like, fell out of love with Suggs. Yeah.
Yeah, there were a lot
of... Boston would have almost made that pick.
And then they would have let us know the next day.
If Barnes is good.
Well, actually, Boston would have, like, gotten offered that pick for Paul George.
Right,
but
Danny's gone, guys.
Right, that's right. Danny's gone. And now Boston would have just, like, I don't know, who's a random role player that Brad Stevens loves? They would have traded him for that guy.
And his cancer's back.
real quick, are they gonna give Marcus Smart like 80 over 4 or whatever that number is?
I think their idea is to try to extend him.
I like Marcus Smart a lot for them, but I would not. That's that role player money where I'm like, yo, I don't know about
so
that.
So the max he could get is 4 years, $77 million, which should take him through the prime of his career,
sure,
and is probably around what he's worth at the moment.
18 is starter money, right? Like, so, and Marcus Smart is a starter.
Yeah.
I think that the money is fine. And the truth is, for the first 3 years of that deal, at least, you can move him really easily.
Yeah,
now, Brad Stevens, I know, like, probably doesn't want to move him ever, but.
Well, is James Young available or?
James Young, man. Blast from the past.
RJ Hunter? Yeah.
Yeah.
Jordan Mickey.
By the way, racing each other to RJ Hunter.
You know, Marshawn Brooks getting buckets still in China, by the way. Somebody hit me up with the stats.
That's a Zach Harper guy right
there. I was convinced he was going to be an all-star.
Me too, man.
Yeah. Oh, man. He was a.
Still could be.
Still could be. Yeah,
all-star in your heart.
All-star anywhere, really.
Ricky Davis, all-star.
Oh, well, let's. He's in the conversation, but no one's ever going to approach Ricky Davis.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no one's ever going to approach Ricky Davis.
We on our Slack channel, Zach's profile photo is Ricky Davis.
Yeah. I cycle through different Ricky Davis.
Well, like, Zach, you must have lost your mind about Isaiah Thomas dropping 81 in Jamal Crawford's summer league.
I don't like short guys.
It was in Jamal Crawford's league.
I love Jamal Crawford, but he's like 6'2", right? Yeah. Like, I don't like short guys. If you're under 5'10", I have no interest in the novelty of you being good at basketball. It doesn't do anything. I didn't care about Nate Robinson. I didn't care about Earl Boykins. No, didn't care about Earl Boykins.
Not Earl Boykins guy.
No, because what you got with Earl Boykins was everyone's like, you know, he can bench press 300 pounds. Like,
that's
he's only 130.
Short man.
For sure, but his arms also just have to go like that. Right?
What about,
there's no
what about
movement.
Muggsy Bowes?
Muggsy's different. I was a kid when he was playing, so like I was like, oh my
and
god.
Same with Spud, right? Like it's
yeah,
it's
Spud
a
and Spud, yeah. But like, all right, now I've seen it and I don't care anymore.
Yeah,
yeah. So like,
just out on short.
So
people.
You're 5'7" doing something cool.
Fair
reach
enough.
The top shelf. I'll be impressed.
I like the idea of this just carrying over outside of basketball.
I'm only 5'9", and he hates my guts. So.
That's just like, if Dave was 2 inches taller, I'd be in.
Right, like if you find out that like Steven Spielberg is 5'6", you're like done.
Oh, I would have to divorce the Jurassic
Saving
Park
Private
franchise.
Ryan,
yeah.
Terrible.
I've actually never seen that movie. I've never seen Saving Private Ryan.
I haven't either.
I've seen Geely 3 times. But I've never seen Saving Private Ryan.
You guys
right.
do Geely already?
We did, yeah. That was a banger episode on Cinephobe, the podcast where me and Al Hassan and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes. We try to ascertain whether they're properly poorly rated or maybe didn't get a fair shake. That's Cinephobe, produced by Anthony Mays, wherever you get podcasts, Jay.
I hope the people could see how irritated I was.
we'll cut that out.
Yeah, we'll cut that out. We'll just zoom in on me there.
Because the Cinephobe references are...
Perfect.
They're a lot. I don't know what to tell you. It's a great podcast.
Great podcast.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them. You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Before we wrap this up, there are some tampering charges that have been alleged with the Raptors and Heat, and then also the Bulls and the Pelicans with the Lonzo Ball sign and trade and the Kyle Lowry sign and trade. I was on NBA radio earlier this morning saying, and I don't know if I was supposed to say this on NBA radio because it is the NBA's radio channel on Sirius XM, but I think this is stupid. It's so dumb that we're being selective. My analogy for it was like, all right, the speed limit's 70. Everyone's going 75. These guys went 77. And you're like, whoa, you got to slow down. Like, right. What are we doing here?
At 6 p.m., as soon as free agency was supposed to start, when teams were allowed to talk to players, Shams and Waj both unleash.
Waj?
They unleash the drafts.
Yeah, Jason's Waj.
Waj.
They unleash the drafts. They unleash the Twitter drafts. Just
did you just make
press publish on
did
all
you just
them.
Make Big Waj like a,
like
a reporter?
Oh, yeah, Big Waj. Is out here breaking news all the time.
It's not Waj. No,
it's Woj.
It's Woj.
What are you talking about?
You know, his last name is Wojnarowski.
What happened there?
That's
are you okay?
Call him Waj.
Vegas is getting to you already?
Hey. I have a friend who thought that Big Waj was Woj.
I mean, you can't. I've never
like
seen
Big Waj.
I've never seen the two of them together. So,
true.
Yeah, that's not a, that's not a bad take.
News.
Do you think – we don't think that – the deals aren't going to be
no
like destroyed.
No, but they could end up incurring penalties.
For sure.
They could lose draft picks, they could take fines.
Right.
I keep hearing it's gonna that it's likely to be worse than it was for the Bucks. Which by the way, the Bucks shouldn't even got because that blew up the deal was already blown up.
Yeah.
Right?
That was the punishment there, but they got caught.
It's like
a second
round pick, right? So it may be worse than that, but
every team is
Miami
doing.
Doesn't care. Right?
That's the issue I have. It's like,
every team
why are you selecting this one?
Well, and if you want to be a pedant about the rules, you're not going to have this huge event for free agency because, okay, this stuff is going to happen over the course
time,
of days. Yeah. And so you capture the moment from the media perspective, which for marketing your league is exactly what you want. But also, it's too complicated to try to have this stuff come together after six. Just let them do it. It's easier for everyone.
As soon as the finals are done, it should be fair game.
And then you announce
you should be able to talk to anyone
later.
But you know what? If you make it as soon as the finals are done, you can talk to any free agent. Then teams are just going to start talking to players during the Eastern Conference Finals.
They already do.
Yes.
Lonzo Ball was ready to go to Chicago in March.
An NBA transfer window would be awesome. And then guys will play out the string.
Is this a soccer thing? I play FIFA casually. Yeah. So I don't fully – when it's like transfer window time, I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing here. I don't know. I'm trying to sign someone. I don't have any money. It doesn't work for me.
Yeah, explain the transfer window.
How awkward would it be if we had a guy who you knew was going to leave a team and then go to the finals with that team, getting booed at home because he's already going to leave?
Kevin Durant? We had that. And that's going to do it for the Basket Buds edition of the Athletic NBA Show podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. Make sure you subscribe to The Athletic. It is the best information and writing about sports on the internet, theathletic.com. For Dave, for Fred, Matt also, Jay, I'm
also
Zach.
Matt.
Yeah.
We got two fake Matts here.
We got two fake Matts here.
You're a fake Matt, too?
He's a fake Matt, too.
I'm also a fake Matt.
What are you, Matt Dufour?
No.
For Matt Harper, Matt Dufour, Matt Katz, and Matt King, subscribe to The Athletic.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.